Warning, this video may contain foul language, discussion of sex, prostitutes, and other adult topics that might make some people squeamish. If you can't handle this, leave now, but don't bitch to me.
Hi there, friends and neighbors. I'm Scott, and I'm an American in Bangkok. And this, to my left, this person is Mr. Scott Farnham, another American in Bangkok, and he is an IT specialist. IT specialist and author of the book Predator, now available on Amazon. And I've known him for about 20 years or so, something like that. We both came over around the same time and used to hang out together, and you know, we've been through our ups and downs, our women, our wine, our song, good times, bad times. You know, there's been a few.
Let me correct you on one thing, Mr.
Yes?
Scott Boy. My book is named Predator Unleashed.
Oh, excuse me, I forgot.
But it is on Amazon, so I thank you for the plug.
All right, so why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? You know, how old are you, how long you been in Thailand, what you do, you know, are you running around living the life, what's your deal?
Well, I'm old enough to be a grandpa. That's old. I'm 52. I've been here for as long as Scotty has, roughly about 16 years.
No, longer.
Longer, 17, make it 18. 17. 18.
18.
All right. I lose track. It's been so long. I'm married, got two kids. Both my kids are grown now. Either working or in school.
How old are you?
I already said that, I think. 52?
Oh, you did? I'm so old that I can't remember.
You want more history?
Go ahead. Give me more history. Got more history? No, I tell you what. Why don't you tell the viewers the high points in your life here in Thailand and also some of the low points. Yeah.
I think one of the high points was just getting here. I sold, I had a garage sale back in, 1995, and I sold everything I had in the States and packed my CDs in one bag and moved here.
You brought your CDs just like I did.
Yeah, my old CDs. So that was kind of the high point of actually getting here. The low point was when I got here, after 6 months the job fell through.
So what'd you do?
I was promised a job and I just kind of, knee-jerk reaction, I came over. I just thought, what the hell, I'll move. That's not a good thing to do, by the way. So you gotta make sure you're
especially nowadays.
Yeah. Not a good move. But I survived. Got a job eventually. And here I am.
Okay.
More details?
That's it? Any more high points? Any more low points? I mean, you know, like, did you sleep with Miss Thailand?
Yeah.
Or anything like that? I mean,
I did go through the,
I don't know where that's coming from. Well, I do, but anyway.
Yeah, I was actually first introduced to the Nana Plaza when I arrived.
So,
the Nana Plaza. So, and this was back when the Nana was cool.
You mean when the girls didn't ever wear anything?
Oh, yeah, that. And the fact that I had a friend who managed a bar there, where I just come and hang out during the day and drink beer for free.
Is that Woodstock?
That was next. Oh. It was the Voodoo Lounge.
Oh, the Voodoo Lounge.
The Voodoo. Yes, my buddy
Voodoo
needed help with the stereo system. So I would come down and hang out and drink beer for free and watch all the girls come in and read all their nice little letters. The funny thing was I would read their letters that they had gotten from their belong.
Letters
to
time
back then. Home.
Letters to time.
Yes, and I would try to translate them into semi-English so the girls would, they'd come, Mr. Scott, can you read my letter for me? Well, I'll try, but it's almost too funny to read to you because it was always the, honey, I love you so much. Here's the 500 baht and the 2,000 baht and the... Never mind, but it was quite a joke. Okay.
So, now...
Because...
Yes?
The same girl had about 10 different letters from 10 different guys.
I mean, that's kind of normal, you know? Yeah. It's now it's...
But that was the introduction to Thailand.
Those are the smart girls.
Yeah.
Those are the smart girls.
And they had a smart back then. When they were... This was before the internet.
Before they had their auntie or their
mama-san
translated.
Before they knew about email.
Translated.
Before the bar girls knew about email.
Yeah.
When the email hit.
Well, that revolutionized the bar girl game, I think.
No, it did.
You know? There was a revolution of sorts. A few years ago, you had one of your low points. I know about this low point. You didn't say anything about it.
I wanted to.
You lost your job.
I did.
And he's tried to start a business where he was working for himself and he was making money from the same people that he serviced while he was working for this other company. But the company went out of business and then things went a little bit south. So why don't you take it from there?
Well, I'll clarify that.
Yes.
I did contract computer work. I was an IT guy. And this was lucrative because this was back when Thais didn't know much about IT, and nobody but their cousin could come in and set up their computers for a Falang person. So my niche market was the Falang companies. I had an oil company. I had about six or seven different companies that needed my support. I charged them 1,000 baht an hour. Things were great. The only problem was, after a certain amount of time, guess who, you know, is able to take over what I was doing. It was the Thais caught up. And in a nutshell, it's
they did it for less than you.
Yeah.
Like a third the price.
Yeah. That was basically it. Ran out of money.
And so what did you do then?
It was either kill myself or move back home.
So you didn't jump from...
I didn't make the leap.
Top of Nana Plaza.
I didn't
go to Pattaya jump.
I thought about hanging myself from the aircon on my balcony, but I thought not. I'll just fly back home.
Painful.
Yeah.
Painful way to go. Better just to go to sleep.
Yeah, well...
If you're going to do it, why not... I mean, you know, unless you want to inflict pain upon yourself, why not just... You know, go to sleep, take a bunch of pills, go to sleep, and then that's it. It's over. Later, baby. Yeah. Anyway, you didn't do it. You're still alive.
Right.
So, you know.
Went back for a year.
Right.
Made money. Saved. I still had my wife and kids here. They didn't bail on me, luckily, because I was still supporting them. Came back after a year, and here I am.
So, what was it like reintegrating into American society, U.S. society, after living here for a couple of years, what was it like to go back home and actually have to live a life that you don't really live here? A little faster pace, a different mentality in the workplace. What was that like?
Very strange. Actually, when you move away from your friends and family, for one, you get that negativism. You get that, like, you're bailing on everybody. So I got that.
You did?
I had that. I had friends that didn't hate me for it.
Really?
Family didn't like that. So they always held a grudge. So when I did go back, I found a lot of friends wouldn't even talk to me.
Wow.
It was hard to get in touch with them. They, even if when I did, they, you know, didn't have the time for me. I lived a whole year in the States, and very few of my friends did I ever get together again with. It was just that way. And I found that when you get used to Thailand and the society here and the way things work, when you go, and the people, when you go back, you find very strange. It's just a strange environment.
Culture shock.
It's just, it is. It's a reverse culture shock.
Yeah,
it really is. It's, I found that difficult to deal with. So I was in my shell. Basically, I just worked, did my thing, and didn't really socialize.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's go on here. How do you think Thailand has changed since you first arrived until now? And what are the good things about Thailand now and the bad things, you know, from then to now? Yeah, tough question.
Very tough.
Thank you.
I think it's a matter of the person. Obviously, there's been infrastructure. I was here before the BTS.
Right.
So, I'm telling you, it was not fun before the BTS on Simplebit Road.
Yeah, but listen.
But I'm just telling you, the infrastructure has changed for the better.
Sure.
But
very true.
It's not about that, really. It's about you, how you change, like how you adapt to Thailand, because it's about how you get along with Thai people, how you accept their, how they are, because it's hard to accept sometimes. Thais are the way they are.
So it's not how they should
the
be.
They are.
It's
you have to deal with it.
It's not how they should be. It's
no,
how they are.
They are how they
it's
are.
It's a very Buddhist
how you deal with
concept.
It. Yeah, because it's very frustrating. It
could be
dealing
with Thais is very frustrating. Yes, it is.
Sometimes.
At times, definitely.
So I'll tell you one thing that's very. That I found that personally that changed me was the factor of losing your cool and yelling and emotions and showing your emotions on your sleeve and that kind of thing.
Which I tend
changed
to
so much. When I moved here, before I moved here, I would be driving my car and someone would cut me off and I'd be in a road rage, right? That kind of thing. Yelling, screaming, swearing, throwing shit around. Just stupid stuff like that. Now, when I moved here, after 3 years maybe, I just mellowed, completely mellowed out. And
took me longer than that.
To keep your cool, don't yell and scream, don't throw things around. Don't wear your emotions, these hot reactions on your sleeve.
Yeah. Don't just
that's
react.
Just,
you have to control yourself.
Exactly.
And you know, the thing is that sometimes, I mean, at some point you get to the point where you just go, you know what, is it really worth it?
Worth it.
Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it because the guy turned the wrong way to get all pissed off?
Right.
I mean, you know, you don't have to be happy about it, but berating the guy for being an idiot, and maybe he is an idiot. I mean, let's face it, maybe the guy is an idiot, but yelling and screaming about it doesn't do anything. It might just get you, like, you know.
You're never gonna win.
Sliced.
Yeah, you're never gonna win.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
You never win. You suck in your pride, you take it, you whine. You whine him, and you leave.
Well, I don't have to whine.
Well, you get in a situation where
it depends on where it is. I'm not whining some taxi driver that screwed me around.
Well,
I mean, you know,
I'm telling you,
that doesn't
maybe
happen.
Maybe a policeman, maybe you're in a situation.
That's a little different. That's
okay.
An authority.
Right.
Authority figure, yeah.
But you just leave. You don't keep yelling and antagonizing.
Yeah.
Thais are fine if you push them, they snap.
Right.
And you don't want them snapping.
Yeah, they do snap, and the thing is they're very mellow and polite and kind most of the time. But if you push it, or if you get aggressive,
exactly,
if you get aggressive and, like, say, you know, you start to show some forward motion, like you're gonna do something,
right,
they go off. And while them going off doesn't always mean anything, to to me, it's like, okay, you know, you want to stand there and yell and scream. It doesn't matter. If I hit you good on the chin, you're still going to go. Or, you know, you're still going to hurt. But you don't. Why do you want to get into a situation like
that? You never want to get into
this. You don't want to do that here.
When you see that smile, there's a certain smile that you'll see from a Thai. Smiles mean many different things in Thailand.
Yeah.
There's a nice smile and there's a nasty smile. And if you get that nasty smile,
the killing smile.
That's when they're ready to fucking let go on you.
Yeah.
And that's what you gotta like.
Right.
You can't push it to that point. You think everything's fine, they're smiling at you, but that's the killing. They're actually gonna.
They're thinking.
They're gonna kill you.
Yeah. You keep pushing them and they'll go off.
Yeah.
So what are some of the good things here in Thailand? What are some of the bad things about living here?
There it goes, the people. Actually, I've never had
a serious problem with it.
Never had a serious problem.
Yeah, you remember I've had a couple serious problems, and guess who they've been with?
Yeah.
Foreigners.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I find.
If you're nice to Thai, if you're a nice person, and you project that genuine,
which I'm not.
Well,
I'm joking.
Smile at a Thai, they'll smile back at you.
That's true. Yeah.
And the majority of Thais are.
They just want to live their life.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
And they, you know, what I love about Thai people is they don't judge.
Yeah, I do like that.
They don't judge you. In America, in an IT industry, for example, you're judged. You're considered a shitbird. If you're you're just a little support guy. I want to talk to the big boss because you're just you're a nobody. Thailand.
So.
No problem.
I guess that brings up a very delicate subject. What about ladyboys? I mean, to each his own is how I look at it. And they are free to do what they want, and I think they should be free to do whatever they want, as long as they don't, you know, like, start reaching and giving me the grab behind or the up under. As long as they don't start doing that, then, I mean, you know, like, I feel like they can do whatever they want. But a lot of people, you know, they hate it when anybody says anything about them. I said something in one of the videos where, like, to me, I'm uncomfortable being around them, I think that at least the ones that I've ever come into contact with or been around for any period of time, they've always been quite outgoing, and I just kind of like
maybe touchy feely.
Not that outgoing.
As long as they're not in a gang on Sukhumvit Soi 4 and not stealing my wallet.
Those are the only ones I've ever really had a problem with on Soi 4.
I don't care.
Actually, Soi 5 over by the beer garden. You know, when you're walking, remember how what everybody used to do is they go to Nana, they hit some of the places in Nana, they walk, and they'd go down Sukhumvit on the left side, and they'd go to they go to beer garden first, and then go to Nana, and then they go down a ways and go to Thermae, or they come from Spazos or. Yeah. Or what's the name of that place under? I haven't been there in so long. It's under the in Siam Square, not Hard Rock, but CM2. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where all the Russians are now and everything like that. But anyway, we used to do the rounds, and one of the things was if we were coming from Nana and we would walk towards Thermae, or we jump in a taxi, but most of the time we just walk. And when you walk, there would be like this, what's the word that I'm looking for? Gauntlet.
Gauntlet.
Of ladyboys. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, there would be like eight of them standing there or sitting, and they start touchy-feeling with you, and then they try to get your wallet, or maybe one would come up and give somebody a whack.
Yeah.
But whenever I had problems like that, I always made sure that I got myself in position to crack one of them if they did anything.
That's bad news, though.
But, well, I only did that when there was like one or two of them, so I wasn't going to do it when there's eight of them. But you know, really, yeah, that's the thing, is there's a lot of freedom. So I was like, that's why I always think to myself, you know, I think that's why there's so many of them here, is because they're accepted, because there is a tolerance.
That's true.
Of not only ladyboys, but the Muslims here, there is a tolerance for them. That even though they're, this country is predominantly Buddhist.
Ladyboys get hired by Thai Airways now. So, right? Isn't that a fact?
Yeah. Anyway, let's see, where was I? What about the bad things in Thailand? Cats running in your house.
Well, the list is endless, I guess.
Really, that bad?
No. It's again, it comes back to dealing with the how people are here, the way they are, the way the culture is, the way they're raised. People are the majority of people in Thailand are not raised to like mannerisms or thinking about someone else. Even though they're Buddhists, it seems to me a lot of times you get the, well, it's me, and I don't give a fuck about anybody else.
That
happens a lot.
I think so.
You know?
I think, I don't know if it has anything to do with Buddhism.
It's upbringing.
But I think that there is that I'm out for me mentality a lot of times. It's not like,
how many examples,
let me show you how generous and kind I am to animals and to people, and let me help this person. I mean, they will, but not in a big way that like they do. I don't know.
Just common sense things, though. It's like,
well, now we're touching on a subject.
Walking down. Example, walking down the sidewalk. Just, that's a great example of how
walking down the sidewalk.
Walking along the sidewalk.
Yeah. I don't understand. Isn't that what it's for? The sidewalk is for.
That's a perfect example of, haven't you ever had to dodge people and then, like, everything's like. You might have to edit this, but
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's just like,
they're on a sidewalk. That's where you're supposed to be when you walk.
Yeah, but haven't you ever been on a sidewalk where everyone just stops in front of you and you have nowhere to go, or you're dodging someone? You can't walk around.
Well, yeah, I have to dodge people. But
how about in front of an escalator? How about
now that is the next subject I was going to bring up about the common sense is. What Thais do like to do? Thai people.
Do you know?
But there is an old saying. You know what escalators are for? Thai people to stand in front of. Because what they do is, all of a sudden, you see a couple people walk up to an escalator and they just stand there and they start talking and they're making decisions. Well, should we go up? Should we go see our friend? Should we go buy that TV? Should we go check that out? Should we go check out Lulu or Noke or whatever it is? Should we go up there? And in the meantime, there's three people standing behind the people that are standing in front of the escalator blocking it. And you're trying to go, you're trying to be nice, going, excuse me, can you get your fat ass out of my way?
Well, it just goes,
you know,
and so
you don't want to say that.
How about the queue in 7-Eleven?
We've talked about that extensively. He and I have talked about the queue. In 7-Eleven.
No, in general, a queue.
Yeah, it's not just in 7-Eleven.
A queue. A taxi queue.
Some guy, listen, yesterday, or day before yesterday, in Starbucks, I walked up, I'm standing right there, I'm the first person to be served. Some guy walks right around me, walks right in front of me, and the girl, he started talking to the girl. I said, well, I want a doppio espresso and a double espresso, and you have the salad, and then all of a sudden this guy walks up. I want a cappuccino and a muffin. And the girls looked over to him. What was that? And she's trying to be nice to both of us. Because that's another Thai way. That's the Thai thing. So she starts, and I looked at her and I said, I'll take the salad. And then I looked at the guy, and I just glared at the guy, and then he got behind me. But that is the kind of thing, it's like, I'm standing here, I'm here. Now, you know, what are your recommendations for those who would like to move to Thailand, besides shooting themselves in the head before they get here and sparing them the trauma?
Recommendations, yes. Yeah. Sell everything you got. No, just kidding.
Don't do that.
I would definitely check out Thailand. Come over on a holiday, at least 6 or 7 times before you decide.
Not that many. You just come over a couple times, few months here, and then see if you want to come.
That's what I did.
Have backup plans.
Yeah.
And make sure that if you're coming over to work, you actually got a skill, you have a skill, and you have a skill that is marketable and that will work here in Asia and in Thailand. Because I'll tell you, I've had probably 6 people write me, can I be a farmer over here? I got a girlfriend out in the country and I wanna be a farmer and sell my shit. And I'm like, no, you can't. Well, you can be a farmer. We got stuff on our little piece of land out there in the south. We got watermelons and chilies and cucumbers and shit. But here's the thing. You cannot work selling your goods. Now, if you want to be a farmer and have your wife do all the farming, and you just kind of sit back and watch her do the farming, that's a little different. But you can't do it. So, you know, my point is that really you need to have some kind of a job or a skill that is applicable here, or you need to be able to bring that skill with you and be able to work from anywhere in the world. For now, that seems one of the only options aside from teaching or working for some large company, international company. So, I think that's... Good recommendation?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would just make sure...
Have plenty of dough so you don't end up on the street.
Yeah.
Don't think that $500 or $1,000 a month... Listen, if you want to live off of that, I think it's fine if you can live off of it as long as you have money as a backup in case something happens. Yeah. But if you want to live off of that and you just want to go, man, I'm living on the cheap here, I got $500, I don't know why I'm talking like that.
Well, if you're going to come here to live, you need to make sure that you can stay here, for one, legally.
Right.
Now, because they're making that essential. So, what visa are you going to get? Okay, that's what you got to check into. Retirement? Maybe. Education? Maybe. Not.
Maybe.
But...
It's still possible to do it, but it's just a little difficult to stay for a longer period of time. I think the main thing is make sure that you have cash to support yourself here, and you don't just think, well, you know, I got plenty of money. I got $500. My friend said I could do it, and a guy sent me a message the other day. He wanted to stay for $800. He wanted to stay for 6 months. I am not joking. $800, he wanted to stay for 6 months. He's got a Thai girlfriend in the U.S. She's going to come over here. And then apparently somebody can help him get a job here in her family. And I'm like, dude, you know, you're going to spend a couple $100 just like immediately upon coming here. You're going to probably blow through a couple $100. It ain't going to happen. $150 a month, sorry. It's not even that. It's $133 or something like that. But even $500 or $1,000 a month, especially if you haven't lived here. But if you have a chunk of money stashed so that you have something to fall back onto, to dip into, say that you're walking down the street and a board comes off a truck, it smacks you in the mouth, knocks all your teeth out, and you got to pay $3,000 to get your teeth put back in.
Yeah.
How are you going to do that? We're going to do a walk around with no teeth? I mean, the thing to do is you got money in savings. Okay, boom. You go to savings, you take it out. You're still spending $500 a month, but you got that money as some kind of a cushion. I think that's, for me, that's the big recommendation. because I had that at first, and then when I got really close to running out of money, and running out of money from the cushion, I was like, I gotta stay here. I can't go. So, anyway, got anything else you want to say? Oh, I got something. Sorry. You want to check out his book? He's got a book called Predator Unleashed, a thriller suspense novel on Amazon.com. How much is it?
Like $3, man.
Really? That much?
$3.95 or something like that.
Something like that. Three, you know, whatever. $2-3, couple bucks. You know, it won't break the bank. Anyway, I don't think I got nothing else, I don't think. I've been yapping for a long time and I got a headache now. What about you? Anything you want to tell the people? Tell the world? I'm Scott, and he's Scott also, and we are Americans in Bangkok. Bangkokia. Until next time, choke the la jerkin.
Later.
I'll be back.